Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to spend a few minutes together learning a little bit of what Chazal have to tell us about what Mashiach is all about. What are we to expect? What are we to strive for? What are we hoping and praying for will happen when Mashiach comes, when the Messianic era arrives? And what does that have to do with the historical situation in which we find ourselves right now, in the year 2021, 73 years into the miracle of Medinat Yisrael? Let's start from the Gemara. Hopefully everyone can see my screen. The Gemara in two places records a machloket amoraim about what life will be like after Mashiach comes. Fascinating questions. What will life be like after Mashiach comes? I have a friend, some of us might know him, who wrote a book, I'm not sure exactly what you call the genre, you know, a historical fiction, as it were, but historical fiction about the future. Usually it's about the past, called Murder in the Mikdash. You know, Mashiach came, rebuilt the, we have the third Beit HaMikdash, everything's like it's supposed to be, etc. And there's a murder mystery because, you know, there's still all kinds of crime and, you know, and suffering and evil in the world. Okay, fascinating premise. I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end of the book. You have to read the whole book to find out who done it. But will there be murder in the Mikdash? What's life going to be like when Mashiach comes? So let's look for a second at some of these makorot. If you look at makor number one, a gemara from Brachot, brings down a machloket. For Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's remember that word, that name. One side of the machloket is Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha-neviim kulan lo nitnabu el yimot ha-mashiach. All the neviim, all the prophets only prophesy about yimot ha-mashiach. Aval olam haba? What about olam haba? Everyone here assumes that yimot ha-mashiach and olam haba are two different things. Yimot ha-mashiach means when Mashiach comes, but we'll still be in this world, just it'll be a messianic world, a Mashiach world. And then there's another world that comes afterwards. That's called olam haba. That's something else. So all the neviim, everything we lane ever we read in the neviim about these amazing visions of what will be in the end of days, that's talking about when Mashiach comes. What's going to happen? Olam haba, ayin lo rata elokim zulatcha. No eye but Hashem has seen it. No one but Hashem knows what olam haba is. Olam haba is indescribable. On all of Tanakh, it never tells us what olam haba is like because it's beyond anything we can say. And all of Tanakh, all the great visions are talking about Mashiach. Maybe some of us remember what some of those visions are. As we, in those of us who are in America, laying the Haftorah exactly a week ago today, I believe. Those of us who are in Israel, maybe in some of our shuls, will read this in shul this week on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yeshaya has all these visions of what will happen when Mashiach comes. Right, the gates of Jerusalem will be built of jewels and gemstones, and the whole world will be lit up. And if you remember, right, the lion will graze with the cow, and the leopard will play with the kid goat, and the poisonous snakes will play with babies and not bite them. Basically, this utopian vision of society where everything will be different, everything will be perfect. So, says Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, that's what will happen when Mashiach comes. We want Mashiach now, that's what we want. Upliga to Shmuel, he disagrees with Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, that's against Shmuel. Ein bein olam azel imot ha-mashiach, elishim imalfiyas olvad. Shmuel says, not true, there's no difference between nowadays and when Mashiach comes, except for shibud malfiyos, whether we'll be subservient to other kingdoms, right? Whether we'll have independence. The only difference between nowadays and Mashiach is atzmaut. Whether Jews will be independent or still be subjected to the non-Jewish kingdoms. That's it. Shenemar, how does he know? It won't be utopian. It won't be something miraculous. There will never stop being poor people in the world. There'll still be murder in the Mikdash. There'll still be poverty outside the Mikdash. There'll be homeless people, you know, a mile away from the Mikdash, lying on the ground, begging for shtolim to buy a loaf of bread, right? It will still be regular life when Mashiach comes. The only difference is we'll have our own country. We'll have our own country. That's Shmuel. Okay, we see this in a second place as well. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tachshiten Heimlo. Okay, this is in the middle of a technical discussion. We know that if you don't have an Erev, you're not allowed to carry things outside, but you're allowed to wear clothing and jewelry outside. What counts as carrying and what counts as jewelry? What's decorative? Very, very unclear, right? You know, even nowadays, it's not clear. Some things that we might consider carrying are considered by some people decorative, right? There's this religion from India, the Sikhs, right? Who they always have to walk around with a sword. They're carrying the sword. That's part of their costume, right? So what about by us? Is a sword decorative or not? Tanya Amar Lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says swords and armor and spears and shields are decorative. Tanya Amar Lo Rabbi Eliezer. V'chimi achad dachshit nein lo mimnameh heim betelim yot Mashiach. They said to Rabbi Eliezer, if they're decorative, why won't we have them anymore when Mashiach comes? How do we know we won't have them anymore when Mashiach comes? I don't know if anyone here has ever been to the UN, right? Remember UN Plaza? I forget what it's called. Some guy, Hammerskull Plaza or whatever it is. Outside the UN, I think they have obviously in English, a pasuk from Yeshaya, from the Haftorah that we just read in America exactly a week ago, right? I forget how they say it in fancy King James English, right? V'chetetu charotam li'itim v'chanitom l'mazmirim lo yisa goyel goy cherev lo yimdu al-mechama. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, right? Nation will not lift sword against nation. There'll be world peace. So if there'll be world peace and they'll beat their spears, they'll take all their swords and you bring them back to the blacksmith and turn them into something else. Why would they save them for decoration? He says they won't need them. Nation will not lift sword against nation. They said, why not keep it for decoration? Oh, because it'll be like a candle in the daytime. Candle in the daytime is not decorative. It's silly looking because you don't need it. When Mashiach comes, nowadays swords are decorative. When Mashiach comes, they won't be decorative because they'll be silly because they'll just be from an era where they used to have war. Once there's no more war, swords will start looking silly. So they'll turn them into plowshares. What do we see from here? That there won't be any war when Mashiach comes. Upliga to Shmuel against Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Amin Ol Manzeli Mot Mashiach, L'Shivu Goli Yevavad. Shmuel says there's no difference nowadays in the Messianic era, except for only whether we'll be subservient in the Golot, whether we'll be in Golos. Shenemar Kilo Yechtal of Yom Kerev Ha'Earth. They'll never stop being poor people in the world. Shmuel says there'll be poverty when Mashiach comes, and there'll be war when Mashiach comes, and we will have swords, and we will need weapons. We will have to go to the army. No, they'll still have the same discussion about drafting, who they draft to the army when Mashiach comes, because we'll still need an army, and we won't have swords in the army. Fine, we'll have guns in the army. We'll still need guns and tanks and bombs, etc. When Mashiach comes, there'll be poverty, there'll be war, it'll be regular life. Just we'll have an independent state. But this discussion supports Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. To Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Kol Neviim Lo Nisnabo El Yimos Mashiach, Avol Lo Olam Haba Ayin Lo Rasa Lo Kim Zolascha. All the words of Neviim will come true in Yimos Mashiach, but not in Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is indescribable. So the words of Neviim is that there won't be any war. So this Brisa said there won't be war when Mashiach comes, supports Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba against Shmuel, but it's still a stalemate. The Ikad Amri, because some people have a different version of the Brisa. Amrlo, Rabbi Eliezer, Chimi Achad, Dachshitin, Hein Lom, Vnei Mahim, Betelim, Mosa Mashiach. If they're decorative, why will they beat them into plowshares when Mashiach comes? Amrlo, Hen, Afli, Mosa Mashiach, Hein Betelim. Said Rabbi Eliezer, no, they'll still have swords when Mashiach comes. Hainu, Dishmuel, this supports Shmuel, plead Rechir Bar Abba. Let's summarize what we know so far. There are two opinions among Chazal as to what the Messianic era will be like. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says, all the words of the Neviim will come true, no poverty, no war, it'll be a totally different utopian lifestyle, nothing like life nowadays. And Shmuel says it'll be exactly like life nowadays. There'll be poverty, there'll be war, there'll be social problems, there'll be suffering, there'll be disease, exactly like nowadays, but we'll have an independent Jewish state. Let's see who we follow. Right, according to Shmuel, by the way, if Shmuel says Yimos Mashiach will be just like nowadays with an independent Jewish state, then, you know, we're pretty much there. Okay, one can argue, you know, what counts as an independent Jewish state? Is it enough to just have a state of Israel, or maybe the state of Israel needs to not be subservient to what President Trump or President Obama or President Biden thinks? Is it enough to have a Jewish state, or does the Jewish state, you know, 61 out of 120 of the Chavri Knesset, the members of Knesset need to be religious? Okay, but either way, we're definitely much more than the beginnings of the flourishings of the Yemot HaMashiach, according to Shmuel. It's regular life of the Jewish state. But Who do we follow? Do we follow Shmuel, that Yemos HaMashiach is a Jewish state? Or do we follow Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who says that Yemos HaMashiach is the utopian grand vision of the Nevi'im, that all the amazing prophecies and predictions of Yeshayah and the other Nevi'im will come true? So this is a bit of a machloket. Let's look, for example, number three, at Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon was one of the first Jewish philosophers. What I mean by that is not one of the first Jews to, you know, think philosophically. Jews have been thinking philosophically as long as they were Jews. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Jewish philosopher then, because when he got the Torah, he thought about philosophy. But what I mean is one of the first Jews to actually write a book of philosophy, not a book of something else that also includes philosophy. His Sefer Emunos V'Deos, written well over 1,000 years ago, explains, and I just took some excerpts of what will happen when Mashiach comes, and maybe I'll even read it a little quickly, because we just have to get the gist of it. Yeira lanu Mashiach ben David pesom. All of a sudden, Mashiach ben David will appear to us. V'yavoa l'rsharim be'yomahu. What will happen to the wicked on the day Mashiach appears? Arba minim enam agifos. Four types of plagues. K'tzasam yamusu mashi yamtelim eish shiv gafris v'avonim. K'mo she'amar v'geshem shotefi avneil gavish eish shiv gafris v'chulei. Some of them will die because Hashem will rain down boulders and fire and brimstone from heaven, etc. There'll be this miraculous plague that will smite our enemies. And when whatever Jews who believe, the living Jews who are still keep their belief, get together, like I mentioned, when Mashiach comes, he will resurrect the dead. All the dead will come back to life, or at least all the good people among the dead will come back to life. Because their siding on holds only the good people will come back. V'yeh ben Yosef Rosha, Mashiach ben Yosef will be the first one to be resurrected, who is a precursor to Mashiach, Ish Tzadik Menusa, V'gimleir Boritov, he's a tried and true Tzadik, and Hashem will reward him. Oz, so what are we going to happen? Plagues on our enemies, like the Makos, Tchias HaMesim, resurrection, Oz Yechadish HaBor Binyam Mekdash, Hashem will rebuild his Beis HaMekdash. Notice, according to Sadi, it's Hashem who rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. Everything's miraculous here. K'mo she'amar kibon Hashem Tzion nirebich vodo. Right, Hashem built Tzion and appeared there. V'gizros v'echolos k'asher perash y'cheskel v'vayhi be'esru v'chomei shanel galuseinu at achretz ha'parsha. With all the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash, as you find in this particular parak of Sefer Yechezkel, u'bavonam ha'yikaros, but it won't be made of Jerusalem stone like nowadays you see the Kotel or Ma'arat HaMachpelah, which are the same kind of stone the Beis HaMikdash is built by Herod. No, it won't be built of Jerusalem stone. It will be built of jewels, of rubies and sapphires and diamonds and emeralds. Like Yeshayah said, that all your buildings will be built of jewels. Obviously, nowadays, we don't have diamonds big enough to build buildings with. But Mashiach comes, we will. And we'll settle the whole land of Israel. Actually, no place will be desolate. We'll settle all the deserts. All the deserts will become fertile and lush. We'll all see the light of the Shekhinah shining on the Beis HaMikdash. The light of the Beis HaMikdash will be greater than the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon will pale by comparison. As I said, the Shekhinah, he explained, is greater than any physical light. Our light has come. Whoever doesn't know the way to the Beit HaMikdash will just follow the light, which will go up to the heavens from the earth. The nations will follow the light. All of the Jews will become Nevi'im. Even the servants, even the little kids will become Nevi'im. Hashem says, I'll pour my spirit on all humans. The sons of the boys and girls will become will prophesy. Even the servants. And even the animals will make peace with each other. Remember, carnivorous animals? No more carnivorous animals. They'll all get along nicely. The wolf will graze with the lamb, and the lion will eat straw, little kids will play with vipers and asps, etc. Says Rav Sadia Gaon, he clearly, I'll ask you the obvious question, does he follow Shmuel or does he follow Rav Chiya Bar Abba? We all see the answer. He follows Rav Chiya Bar Abba. I will admit, he and many other Jewish philosophers follow Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and say all the words in the Nevi'im will come true when Mashiach comes. They are miraculous. They are otherworldly. They are utopian. They will all come true. the sun will not be as bright as the Beis HaMikdash. We'll build Yerushalayim out of diamonds. The carnivorous animals will get will stop eating other animals because everyone will live in peace. There won't be war. There won't be poverty, etc. That is the utopian vision of Yemos HaMashiach. Let's see what the Rambam has to say about this. If we know anything about the philosophy of the Rambam, it's that he did not think that the way God ran the world, according to the Rambam, Hashem does not run the world by changing nature or doing miracles. Of course, the Rambam knows Hashem could do whatever he wants. That's why he's God. He could do anything. But the question of what he could do and what he would do are two different things. Hashem could do anything, he's God. But Hashem is a nature. Hashem is a way of working. Hashem doesn't do anything. He does things that are logical for him to do. So, for example, let's look at skip to Makor number 7, which is from the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam's more philosophical work. Va'einan asher nelech svivo, the matter which we are keep coming back to, Kfar Isbar was already explained. V'hu shehefsed zeh ha'olam v'shtanutum yashu alav, destroying this world or changing it from what's nature. O'ishtan adover mitzvah, changing one part of nature. V'em sheikhol ashinoy huen, and it remaining changed. Obviously, the Rambam knows that nature can change temporarily. After all, how did you have all the miracles, right? The Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf was a change in nature, but that was very temporary. Each of the Makos only lasted a short while. Kriyas Yamsuf was only a few hours, right? All the miracles, there are lots of miracles in Tanakh, but they were very short. We never find that Hashem changed the rules of physics. He just did one-time miracles, because change in the world or even change in one part of the world permanently, something which neither a Navi nor any of our Chachamim told us. It's not true. It's impossible. Okay, maybe we'll see if we have a chance to read more of this, but that's what the Rambam says. We'll just see the end of this. If the end of the second to last line of Makor 7, Chachmaso Gazra, Hashem's Chachma, why does Hashem have to do things? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. He has to do what his wisdom decrees that he does, because he has to listen to his own wisdom. Meaning, he just has to do what he thinks he should do. And what did Hashem's wisdom decree? He doesn't have to do what anyone else thinks he should do, but he has to do what he thinks he should do. What did his wisdom decree? Sheyantzi hayitzur ve'etchin tzio, that Hashem created the world when he created it. Shlo yeder zeh shehimtzi v'lo yishtana lo teva. And the world that he created should never cease existing, and its nature should never change. Elav mesherotz me'apratim, except when Hashem wants to change a detail, except for one temporary detail of what we know that happened in the past or what we don't know that will happen in the future. Zoe datenu, that's our opinion, viso torasenu, and the pillar of our Torah. The Rambam does not like the idea of nature changing. The Rambam thinks nature doesn't change. The world stays the way it is. When Hashem created the world, he created it to stay that way. And any miracles are one-time occurrences, but the world doesn't change. So what does the Rambam do with all the words of the Nevi'im? Remember, the Nevi'im said the lion will eat straw. That's a change in nature. To the best of my knowledge, that doesn't work according to biology, right? And the vipers will play with little babies and not bite them. That's against, animal psychology, and etc. So what does the Rambam do? Even the idea that, we'll have diamonds, that we can build buildings out of. That seems to be against nature, to the best we know nowadays. What does the Rambam say? Let's look at Makor 4. Says the Rambam, a decidedly non-miraculous version of Mashiach. The Rambam's Mashiach is not a miracle. Va'al yale al datcha, a natural Mashiach. Va'al yale al datcha shemelech Mashiach tzarech lasot ototum oftim. Don't let it cross your mind that Mashiach, the King Mashiach, needs to do miracles and wonders. Umechadis verba olam, or make new things in the world. Umechayim etim, or resurrect the dead. V'kayotz v'dvarim elor, or anything like that. Ein adavar kein, not true. Shari Rabbi Akiva, Chacham Golem and Chacham Yishai. What's his proof? Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest of the Chacham in the Mishnah, what we call Tanaim. He was the arms bearer of Bar Kokhba. We all know the story of Bar Kokhba rebellion. In the days of Rabbi Akiva, about 50-odd years after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews rebelled under and appointed a king called Bar Kokhba, and Rabbi Akiva supported him. We have many Mekoros in the Medrash that Rabbi Akiva supported him. Okay, we have many Mekoros that Rabbi Akiva said that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. V'dima hu b'chol chachmei dorish hu melech Mashiach. And Rabbi Akiva and all the chacham of his generation thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. Atcha nerig b'avonos. Until in the end, due to his sins, Bar Kokhba was killed and Rabbi Akiva was wrong. Kim atcha nerig nolim she'enu. When he was killed, they saw he wasn't Mashiach. V'lo shalim enu chom lo ot v'lo mafet. Why didn't they ask him to do a miracle to prove whether he's Mashiach or not? Why did they have to wait to see if he succeeded or was killed? Why not just say, do a miracle for us if you're Mashiach, resurrect the dead or something? The answer is because Mashiach doesn't do miracles. Mashiach is a natural process, according to the Rambam. How does that work? Valid. The Yamod Melech Beis David. The Rambam gives you all the rules. How do you know how Mashiach works? It's right here. Yamod Melech Beis David. If a king arises from the descendants of David HaMelech, Hogev Torah Os Mitzvot David HaMelech, who learns Torah, does mitzvot just like David HaMelech did. Kefi Torah Shebech Tav V'Sheval Peh. Follows the Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Sheval Peh. V'Yakuf Kol Yisrael Leilich V'Aluchazi Bidka. And he forced all the Jews. He leads all the Jews to keep the Torah, shores up all the breaches and observance. Meaning, first thing he has to do is get all the Jews to keep the Torah. First job. V'Yilochem Uchamas Hashem. Second job, fight the words of Hashem. Fight against our enemies. Hareza Becheska Shumashiach. If he got the Jewish people to follow the Torah and fought wars, then we assume he's Mashiach, but we're not sure. Im Asav Itzliach, if he succeeded and won all the wars, V'Nitzeach L'Mushas V'Vav, beat all the nations around him, Ubana Mikdash B'Kol, built the Beis HaMikdash in the proper place, V'Kibiz Nitzchei Yisrael, and gathered in all the exiled Jews to Israel, Hareza Mashiach B'Vadai, very simple, I mean, not so simple, not simple for me and you, but very natural. All you need is a king, a Jewish king, who gets all the Jews to follow the Torah, who wins wars against all the enemies, builds the Beis HaMikdash, brings all the Jews to Israel. He is, by definition, Mashiach. That's Mashiach. A really good king. What does it mean to be a good king? You have to win the wars, or else you're not a good king. You have to bring all the Jews to Israel, so you're not a good king. You have to make the Jews keep the Torah, or else what good a king are you if you don't get people to keep the Torah? And you have to build the Beis HaMikdash. What kind of king are you if you can't even build the central body in the capital of your country, the central building in the capital of your country? If you do that, you're Mashiach. If he didn't succeed so well or he was killed, then you know he's not Mashiach that the Torah promised. Then he's just like the other Davidic kings of the Davidic dynasty who are good, who died. Then he's just a king who was a Mashiach but was a really good Jew. Says the Rambam, a natural Mashiach. Let's go to Makor 5. 4 is the penultimate chapter, Terek, of the entire Mishnah Torah of the Rambam. 5 is the last, the very end. He ends with Mashiach. He ends with we're removing. Al yale al. This is the very end of the Rambam's magnum opus. Al yale al alev. Don't let it cross your mind. I'm reading 5. Should be most Mashiach yivatal davar min hagushalom. Don't think when Mashiach comes, anything of the nature of the world will change. Or yesham chiddush ma'aseh bereishis. Or there'll be anything new in nature. El olam kun hogen noheg. The world will continue its regular nature. How can you say nature won't change? It says in Yeshaya that the wolf will lie with the lamb and the leopard will play with the kid goat. It's a metaphor. It says the Rambam, Mashiach comes, the wolf will not lie with the lamb. If you let him in, he'll eat your lamb. The lion will not eat straw. If you get too close, he'll eat you. This is all a metaphor. For what? Inyan Adavar, the meaning should yisrol yoshen levetach amrishik akom. It doesn't mean a wolf or a lamb, nature won't change. It means a Jew and an enemy. Jews and the evil Gentiles, right? Doesn't mean Jews and, I know, Japanese people who never heard a Jew in their life, whatever. No, it means the Jews and the Hamas and the Hezbollah, the ones who want to kill us. The rishay akom. Hamashum kizevik adavar, who in Tanakh are compared as a metaphor to leopards and wolves, Shinemar Zevarot Yisharidim with Nomer Shokel Ram in that pasuk. What does it mean? It means that the enemies of the Jews who are wicked terrorists will live in peace, who act like Vildachayas, as we say, like wild animals, will become peaceful and live nicely with the Jews. The Yachshu Kolom Nadaha Emet, they'll all come back to the true religion. V'lo Yigzlo V'lo Yishchitu, they won't steal or destroy. Ela Yochlu Dovra Motor V'nachas Em Yisrael, they'll eat permissible things gently together with the Jews, right? And the lion will eat straw like the cow. Doesn't mean lions will eat straw. No, lions are carnivorous. They can't digest straw in their stomach. Lions will eat whatever they get their paws on. What it means is that the terrorists will sit nicely with the innocent Jews and eat nicely, eat permissible things. I assume permissible things means probably things that are kosher according to their Sheva Mitzvot Zei Noach, or they'll eat with the buy food with money they didn't steal, etc. Likewise, all the prophecies about the days of Mashiach are metaphors. When Mashiach comes, everyone will know exactly what everything was a metaphor for. And what was the hidden meaning? Meaning, the Rambam says, I can't promise you now to tell you what everything's a metaphor for. I can't tell you right now what's the metaphor when it says the snake will play with a little kid and it says that the wolf will lie with the lamb. What's the difference between the metaphor of the wolf being tame and the snake being tame? But when Mashiach comes, we'll understand, you know, when we see it happen, it'll make sense. We'll see what all the metaphorical meaning of each pasuk was. Let us skip a little to Halacha Dalet here. Lo nit'avacham ve'minos Mashiach, very important philosophical point to the Rambam. All of the Nevi'im and the Chachamim yearned for the days of Mashiach. Why did they yearn for Mashiach to come? Why would a Jew? We should also yearn for Mashiach to come. Why do we yearn for Mashiach to come? Not so we could rule the world. It's not about politics. Not so we could rule the world. Not so we could oppress the Gentiles. Not even so that all the nations will praise us. Meaning we don't want Mashiach to come so we can beat our enemies, or so that we can boss around all the other nations of the world, or even so that in the UN we'll pass resolutions praising Israel instead of denigrating us. No. Not to eat, drink, and be merry. But why? So that we can be free to delve into the Torah and its wisdom. There's only one reason we want Mashiach to come, so that we can sit and learn Torah all day. Nowadays, we can't sit and learn Torah all day because there's a lot of pressures on us. It's hard to make a living. It's hard to support our families if we sit and learn Torah all day. Not only that, there are problems. You know, people oppress us. There are criminals who attack us. We always have to guard our property because there are thieves. We have to go to the army and, you know, do our, miluim, our reserve army service, etc., to fight our enemies. It's really hard. So many of our resources go to combating all the ills of this world. So not everyone can sit and learn Torah all day. Some people can, right? It's very nice. So in YU, Baruch Hashem, in YU, there are people who donate money so that an elite cadre of Talmidim in YU can sit and learn Torah all day, and then they go out and become rabbis and serve the Jewish community. But not everybody, even those people in YU, they don't learn Torah all day for their whole lives. They go out and they're rabbis in the community. It's very hard to sit and learn Torah your whole life. But when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to sit and learn Torah our whole life. No one will oppress us or stop us. And what's good about learning Torah your whole life? Then when they die, they'll go to Olam Haba. Like he explained in Hilchas Tshuva, Yemosa Mashiach will be able to sit and learn Torah and become wise, and our whole life will be spent in the intellectual pursuit, the intellectual spiritual pursuit of Torah. Okay, that sounds very attractive to me. I want Mashiach now. Uva Osozman ends Makor 5. 5 Hey. And that day's a Mashiach. Lo yesham lo rav lo melchama. There will be neither hunger nor war. There won't be hunger or war. V'lo kinev atachros. There will be neither competition nor jealousy. Why? Why? What? Meaning no human beings will fight with other human beings about anything. Not in terms of our business competition, not in terms of international warfare. Sha'atovat yemushpat harvei. Why? Because goodness will flow. Everyone will have as much as they want of everything. There'll be no limited resources. There's no limited resources. Why do you have to fight? For all the luxuries will be found like dust on the street. Right? Remember once upon a time, and we don't remember. Once upon a time in Europe, they said, go to America. The streets are paved with gold. Okay, then maybe some of our ancestors showed up to America and realized it wasn't so simple. The streets were not paved with gold. It was hard to make a living in America. But in Yemos Mashiach, the streets will actually be paved with gold, at least metaphorically. Everyone will have as much money and as much luxuries as they want. You won't have to work. And then the business of the whole world will be nothing but Ladas Shem Levad. Everyone's job will be just knowing Hashem, coming closer to Hashem, learning. Then the Jews will be great Chachamim, the Yodin Dvar Mastumim, and they'll know things that are now hidden from us. And they'll understand Hashem as much as a human being can. We'll be on the highest intellectual, spiritual levels of Torah. The world will be full of knowledge of Hashem like the water covers the seas. And notice, the Jews will be very advanced, but it's not only the Jews. The whole world, Jews and Gentiles. All they'll do is learn Torah all day and know Hashem. That's the Rambam's vision of Yemos HaMashiach. Now, the question is, okay, sounds very attractive. Question is, who does the Rambam paskil like? This is a tremendous machlokas among the Mefarshim of the Rambam. Does he follow Rav Chiya Bar Abba? Does he follow Shmuel? Okay, if we were not on Zoom, maybe we'd try to have more of a discussion about this, debate it back and forth a bit. But I will beg your indulgence. I will ask everyone to forgive me for not having proper participation in the Shiur. over this. Okay, someday, Bli Neder, I'll fly to New York and we'll be able to see each other in person. But for now, it's been debated ever since the days of the Rambam, which is over 800 years ago. It's been debated who he follows. Does he follow Rav Chiya Bar Abba, or does he follow, Shmuel? but the it seems like he follows Shmuel. What does he say? He says nature will not change in the days of Mashiach. Right? Nothing will change. Nothing will change in nature. Nature doesn't change. That Shmuel says there's no change in nature between nowadays and the days of Mashiach, except for the independent Jewish state. He clearly has a natural and not a supernatural vision of what life will be like when Mashiach comes. However, and this fooled a few of the Mefarshim into saying that he follows Shmuel. However, it's not true. It's not true. Even though he agrees with Shmuel that Yemotza Mashiach will be a natural and not a supernatural lifestyle. But if we think about it, go back to the first two Makoros. What did Shmuel and Rav Chiya Bar Abba argue about? They argued about whether there'll be poverty in the days of Mashiach. Shmuel said there'll be poverty. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says there will not. They argued about whether there'll be war in the days of Mashiach. Shmuel said there'd be war. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says they will not. What does the Rambam hold? It's very clear. Says the Rambam, Lo yisham l'rov l'mochama. There will be neither poverty nor war. The Rambam, on the two concrete issues that Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Shmuel argued about, poverty and war, he paskin in both cases like Rav Chiya Bar Abba. There will not be poverty, there will not be war. Basically, what was the machloket? Rav Chiya Bar Abba says when Mashiach comes, we'll have a utopia. Life will be perfect. And Shmuel says life will be regular, just like nowadays with the Jewish state. The Rambam is very, very clear. Life will be perfect. We won't have to work. We'll just be able to learn Torah and come close to Hashem all day. There'll be no hunger. There'll be no poverty. There'll be no war. There'll be no jealousy. Everyone will have as much money as they want. The Rambam clearly views Yemos Mashiach as a utopia. And that's why the Rambam says, if we look in Makor 6, and then we will tie this up, says the Rambam, Kama Kama David Makor 6, how much did David yearn for Olam Haba? I just want to see Hashem in the land of everlasting life, Olam Haba. For Hodiuna Chacham Rishonim, our early Chacham taught us, Shebetovas Olam Haba in Koach Ba'adam La'sigal Borya. No human being can understand how good Olam Haba is, clearly. Only Hashem knows how great and glorious and beautiful it is. All of the good things that the prophets, the Nevi'im, promised the Jews are physical benefits that we will enjoy when Mashiach comes. When we get our kingdom back. How great Olam Haba is indescribable. The Nevi'im never described it because they would lower it by trying to describe it with words. Who says, no eye but Hashem has seen what he will do in Olam Haba for those who yearn for him. A goodness that no one has ever seen, not even a Navi, is what Hashem will do in Olam Haba. He quotes Rav Chiya Bar Abba. All the Chachamim prophesied about Yemos Mashiach. But no eye but Hashem has ever seen Olam Haba. The Rambam admits nature will not change in Yemos Mashiach, but the world will change. If we have to summarize the sheet of the Rambam, it would be like this. Shmuel believes that the world will be a natural world, which will not be utopia, a regular world with a Jewish state. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, according to Rav Sadigon, believes it will be a supernatural utopia, a perfect world which breaks all the rules and all the rules of nature change. What does the Rambam hold? The Rambam holds it will be a utopia. Yemos Mashiach is a utopia, but it's not a supernatural, miraculous utopia. It is a natural utopia. The chiddush of the Rambam is that you can achieve utopia without miracles. I don't mean without miracles, without supernatural miracles that break the laws of nature. Obviously, Hashem running the world and giving us success is a miracle. But the sheet of the Rambam, the chiddush of the Rambam, is that there's such thing as a natural utopia. the world can be perfected without miracle, without open miracles, without changing the laws of nature. To summarize then, Shmuel holds it will not be utopia. Rav Chiya bar Abba says it will be utopia. But what kind of utopia? Said Rav Saad, you go in a supernatural utopia. Says the Rambam, and this is the big chiddush of the Rambam, a natural utopia. This can also be expressed by their attitude towards the words of Nevi'im. Shmuel says it won't be utopia. The words of Nevi'im won't come true. Rav Chiya bar Abba, according to Rav Saad, you go and says it will be a miraculous utopia. The words of Nevi'im will come true, kipshutam, according to the plain meaning of the words. Says the Rambam in between, it will be a utopia, but it'll be a natural, non-miraculous utopia. The words of Nevi'im will come true, but they won't come true according to the plain meaning of the words. They'll come true according to the metaphorical meaning of the words. There will not be a miracle that wolves will stop being carnivorous. There will be a natural perfection of the world, a natural progression of the world, and that the terrorists will stop being violent and will become good citizens and start following the Torah and, at the very least, the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. What does this mean for us if we now have three approaches to Mashiach? And of course, we always have special fondness for the approach of the Rambam. According to Shmuel, Mashiach's not quite so exciting. I looked through every Jewish philosopher I could get my hands on. No one agrees with Shmuel. Shmuel's vision of Mashiach is achievable. All you need to do is a Jewish state. But it's disappointing. It just means business as usual, just with a Jewish state. We don't follow Shmuel. That's not Mashiach. Mashiach is something greater than that. Mashiach is a perfect world. It's a utopia. Mashiach is a world where all our dreams will come true, where we won't suffer anymore. Right? It doesn't mean there won't be any suffering. But most of the suffering we're familiar with will no longer be there. No poverty, no war, no terrorism, no violence, no crime, no people hurting each other. Okay, there might still be diseases, etc. But you know what? Even if there are diseases, I trust our medical establishment that if everyone starts, you know, being responsible and no one hurts each other, no one shoots each other and no one damages each other and no one, you know, puts the wrong ingredients and does unsafe things, and everyone is responsible because the Torah teaches them to go to the doctor and follow what the doctor says properly, then probably no one will die of disease either. It'll be utopia, but we won't achieve that utopia through miraculous divine intervention. We'll achieve that utopia through natural divine running history. We'll achieve that utopia by Hashem running history behind the scenes. Notice, Rav Saad Yigon says, Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam doesn't say Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Mashiach. Well, Ubana Mikdash Mkoma, Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. It's natural. Of course, it's a great miracle. Imagine a world where the Jews beat all their enemies and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine a world where no one fought with each other and everyone just listened to the Torah and there was no war, there was no poverty, no competition, no one tried to make money off the other guy. Everyone shared and shared alike. That's pretty miraculous. But it's not a supernatural miracle. It is a natural miracle. The Rambam's version, if we ask, what does that have to do with our Zionism? Rav Chiya, how do we get to utopia? According to Rav Saad Yigon's version, Rav Chiya bar Abba, we wait for God to do a lot of miracles and change all of nature. What does that have to do with what we're doing now? Probably very little. Because no matter what we do nowadays, no matter what happens in regular history, that's not going to lead to snakes becoming tame and diamonds, you know, 3-ton diamonds, you know, being quarried from the hills of Yerushalayim, and a light brighter than the sun shining for the Beis HaMikdash and resurrection of the dead. But according to the Rambam, what brings us to Yemos Mashiach? Yes, the king comes, etc., etc. How do we get to a world where there's no Ra'av and no Milchama, no Kanava Taharot? How do we get to this utopian perfect world without changing nature? So the answer is very clear for the Rambam. No laws of nature will change when Mashiach comes. Only one thing will change. What's the one species in nature that will change when Mashiach comes? Human beings. We don't need to change anyone but ourselves. All we need to change is human beings. When Mashiach comes and the Jews get together in Israel and start following the Torah, if enough Jews follow the Torah and then enough Gentiles follow the Torah and the whole world follows the Torah, and we have the Beis HaMikdash that inspires everyone to follow the Torah and serve Hashem, then all of a sudden the world changes. If everyone follows the Torah, why do we need wars? I don't mean nowadays you can find religious people who fight with each other. I mean, if everyone really follows the Torah, right, and they really understand it properly and aspire to do it right, why would anyone fight with each other? Why would anyone fight about money? There are more important things than money in the world. Why would there be any ills in society if we could just educate everyone to follow the Torah and inspire them by Torah values. The Rambam, if we have two competing visions of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, two competing utopian visions, Rav Sadia Gaon's supernatural utopia and the Rambam's natural utopia. On the one hand, Rav Sadia Gaon's very inspiring. Miracles will change nature. God will totally remake the world. I personally feel much more inspired by the Rambam. Says the Rambam, you don't need to change the laws of nature to perfect the world. You just need to change human beings and educate them in the ways of the Torah. You just need a king who's going to build a Torah center and teach everyone to keep the Torah and conquer all of the enemies, not to subdue them because we enjoy subduing them, but so that they will stop with their terrorism and start listening to the values and the ethics of the Torah. All we need is ruchnia, spirituality in this world. All we need is a little more avodas Hashem in this, a lot more avodas Hashem in this world, and the world will be perfect. For me, this Rambam is the most inspiring message ever about the world, Hashem, Torah, and humanity. So he says God created a world where all you need to do is get all of humanity to follow the Torah. I know it's a tall order. And we'll live in a utopia. And we will have a perfect world. For the Rambam, what does this have to do with us? What does that have to do with Zionism? Let's go to Yom HaTzma'at. This week, 73rd birthday of Medinat Yisrael. What does that have to do with Mashiach? So we saw three approaches. According to Rav Sadia Gaon, it has very little to do with Mashiach. There's no resurrection of the dead. There's no three-ton diamonds. There's no light brighter than the sun in the Beis HaMikdash. Mashiach is a bunch of miracles that have nothing to do with normal history. According to Shmuel, it has too much to do with Mashiach. According to Shmuel, having a Jewish state is practically Mashiach. But then Mashiach's not quite as exciting as we thought. It's not a utopia. Life is not perfect. Life is not even significantly better than it is nowadays. But according to the Rambam, Mashiach is about the power of Jews following the Torah and realizing their destiny to change the entire world and perfect the world without changing one law of physics or biology. Just by bringing people, educating people to serve Hashem like they should and to follow the lifestyle that they should be following. For the Rambam, I think, to me, if you ask me about Zionism, I mean, other people might disagree. Perhaps people will call me an anti-Zionist. Perhaps people will call me a dreamer. People have called me worse in my life. For me, if you ask what is the ikkar of Zionism, I'm a Rambam Jew. The ikkar of Zionism is not that we win the wars. That's necessary. That is the prerequisite. If we don't win the wars, then we don't have our, then we're all in big trouble. The ikkar of Zionism is not that Israel has more Nobel prizes per capita and more doctorates per capita and more books published per capita and more startups per capita than any country in the entire world. That makes me believe that the Jewish people are Hashem's chosen people. That makes me believe that God runs the world and controls history. But that is very impressive. That is miraculous in the natural sense. But that's not the ikkar of the Jewish state. The ikkar of the Jewish state is the values of the Torah. The ikkar of the Jewish state is that we believe that if we just realize our destiny and spread the message of Judaism and Torah to the whole world, first spread it amongst ourselves, build a country that exemplifies the Torah lifestyle and spread that to the world, we will perfect the world. Karl Marx was a fool. He thought you could perfect the world with communism. A lot of people thought you could perfect the world with a lot of stupid ideas, because their ideas were invented by human beings. Ideas invented by human beings are finite and do not have power to infinitely perfect history for all eternity. We believe that Karl Marx was half right. It's our job to perfect the world. The half he was wrong about is not through communism, through Torah. We believe that Hashem already gave us the instruction book that for perfecting the world. All we have to do is build a state that realizes that. For me, Israel's reshit tzmichat ulateinu, because from 1948 until 2021, for 73 years, every year we have built and more Judaism and more Torah in this state. Of course, we've built a stronger army and a stronger economy and more science and more arts and more of everything. That's all the support system for the real reason we have a Jewish state, which is to be Jewish, which is to realize our destiny, which is to live the Torah. And you know what? For all that the naysayers like to cry, every year from 1948 until 2021, that state has become more and more Jewish. There are more people learning Torah in that state, more people learning Torah, you know, paid for buy the tax paid for, at least personally paid for happily and gladly by the taxpayers of the state of Israel. Every year, there's been more celebration of Torah, more giving prizes to, right, on Yom HaTzmaut, we give prizes for who wrote the best Sfarim, who wrote the newest Sfarim in cutting edge Torah, Gedolim who write new Sfarim. Every year, we have more and more Torah in the state of Israel. In 1948, there were a couple dozen, maybe 100 or two maximum people learning Torah in Israel. Due to Medinat Yisrael, there are now tens and tens of thousands of people learning Torah of every stripe. Some of my stripe, some of a different stripe. Maybe there are Satmars who have a slightly different way of going about it than I do. There's this kind of people and this kind of Jews. There's the Hezder and there's the Mechina and there's the Yeshiva Gvoha, you know, the whatever kind of yeshiva. Jews learning Torah and bringing that to the state of Israel. Even in Tel Aviv, they have secular Jews who decide they wanted to make a yeshiva and learn Torah and learn Gemara without keeping the Torah, without being from, without keeping Shabbos. Okay, that's wonderful. Trust me, come back in 10 years and you'll see how the experiment of learning Torah without keeping Shabbos works. In a few years, they'll remember the learning Torah, they'll compromise on the not keeping Shabbos part. Not to worry. This is the state that is about all we believe. This is where we go to the Kotel. We daven with every single stripe of Jews. We make minyanim with tens of thousands of people at the Kotel, which Baruch Hashem we're coming back to now. This is the state where it's Shavuos morning or the middle of the night at 4 a.m. You walk down streets of Yerushalayim. You see thousands of Jews wearing every possible kind of tie, jacket, shirt, covering on their head possible, all streaming to squeeze into the Kotel more people than you can imagine will be there to daven together as one nation. This is our destiny. This is what we believe in. To me, Zionism is all about the Rambam, is about Jews keeping the Torah, spreading Torah in Medinat Yisrael, is about learning Torah, making yeshivas, building shuls, going out there to Tel Aviv, giving out Shabbos candles, reminding people to light Friday night. And it's not only Chabadnikim, every kind of Jew. You see a Jew with a kippah sugah, you see a Jew with a black hat, both of them giving out Shabbos candles. It's about Jewish soldiers about to go into Gaza. It's been a while since the last war in Gaza, Operation Cast Lead. What do? A bunch of friends of mine went to the front, found the soldiers right before they went in, said, "What can we do for you?" The soldier says, "We're afraid. This is really dangerous. We might not make it alive. Give us tzitzis to wear to protect us so that Hashem will be with us when we fight." They brought a truckload of tzitzis. Every soldier put on tzitzis, went out to Gaza. And not only quote-unquote religious soldiers. In Israel, this is the country where people feel Hashem's presence. Some people keep Shabbos already. Some people don't keep Shabbos already. But everyone goes into Gaza when they're ready to fight, when they're in the trenches there, wearing their tzitzis so that Hashem will protect them, because that's what this country is all about. That is my messianic vision for the state of Israel. And look how far we've gotten, right? The first country to vaccinate everyone after Corona. You know, the healthcare system takes care of the most people. The social services take care of the most people, right? There's plenty of war, but we managed to keep it outside our borders, Baruch Hashem. There's poverty, but not as much as there used to be. There's competition, but not as much as there used to be. We are on our way to perfecting the world with the Torah. I just want to end with one beautiful thought. And then I know I went over my time. And before Bashur gets mad at me, I want to end with one thought. And this is something to take with us every year in Yom HaTzmaut. Some of us say in Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina, even if you don't say it, we believe Israel has potential at least to be Reshit Smichat Gulatena, the beginning of the flourishings of our redemption. Beginning of flourishings. We're not there yet. You ask me, is Israel perfect? It is far from perfect. The secular people are far from perfect. The religious people are far from perfect. The government is far from perfect. The people are pretty close. Actually, all the people are really wonderful. Just when you get them together into political groups, they're far from perfect. But we have a lot of work to do. How do you look at Israel? What is Israel all about? How do you look at a country that stands for everything we believe in, stands for utopia, stands for the ideals of the Torah, stands for everything every one of the Nevi'im of Tanakh and of the Chacham, of the Gemara, and the Medrash yearned and prayed for their whole lives? Yet sometimes it seems so far. Yet it's not there yet. You look at the flag. What's on the flag of Israel? Two colors, white and Azure is the fancy English word for it, light blue tchilet. Tchilet. What's special about tchilet? It reminds us of the tzitzis, right? Once upon a time, some of us still nowadays, again nowadays rather, had white and blue on our tzitzis. What's special about tchilet? Say Chazal number 8. Tanya, Hayar Rav Meir Omer, Manish Tana tchilet become mini tzivonim. Why is tchilet better than any other color? Tchilet is blue. Blue is like the sea. The yam domel rakia, and the sea is like the sky. Rakia lakisa covered, and the sky is like the Hashem's heavenly throne. As it says, under Hashem in the vision of the prophets was a sapphire throne, and sapphire is a light blue. So the tchilas is light blue, which is like the sea, which is like the sky, which is like Hashem's heavenly throne. The question is obvious. Tchilas is light blue, Hashem's heavenly sapphire throne is light blue. Why not skip the middleman? Why does it have to be like the sea and like the sky? Why can't we just say the tchilas is like the kisei covered, like Hashem's heavenly throne? And the answer, I think, is clear. You look at the tchilas, you look at the Israeli flag, you look at Israel nowadays. Everywhere you go, you might not see the heavenly throne. You might not see Shemayim. You might not see the supernal heavenly realms. Sometimes you'll go, you'll see social problems, you'll see crime, you'll see Chilul Shabbos, you'll see every social ill they have in the rest of the world you can find here. You'll see Jews fighting with each other and not getting along. You don't necessarily see, when you look at, show up in Israel at Ben-Gurion Airport, take a cab to wherever you're going, you don't necessarily see Shemayim. You don't see utopia. What are Chazal telling us? You're not supposed to look at something and immediately see utopia. That's not how life works. But you look at the tchilas and you see the yam. The tchilas is like the sea. Yeah. What's the sea? It's really grand and big. It's very powerful and big and a little awe-inspiring. Yes, I see things here that are awe-inspiring. You look at the sea, then you notice it's like the heavens. Ah, the heavens is not only awe-inspiring, but lofty. Yes, I can see something awe-inspiring here, and from there I can see something lofty here. You look at the heavens, then you see the Kisei Kavod. When you see something lofty, you then see something perfect. It says, we're not, if you're looking at the Israeli flag and expecting right behind it to see the Kisei Kavod, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be a frustrated Zionist. If you look at anything and expect to see perfection, you're going to be frustrated. I hope you don't raise your kids that way. I hope you don't lead your communities that way. The Torah tells us, look at that flag, look at that tchilas, see something a little bigger than that. See something a little bigger than that. See people who are secular learning Gemara in Tel Aviv. Then see those people who are secular learning Gemara putting on tzitzis. Then see them keeping Shabbos. Then see them learning in Kollel. Then see the whole country being religious. See people, the tremendous chesed, strangers on the street, caring about the babies, sometimes annoying. When I was younger, I walked my baby in the street, everyone said, you know, he can't breathe, you're swaddling him too close. Okay, see the strangers complaining about caring about my baby's health on the street. See Jews stopping on the side of the road. There's a phone number you call that's not AAA, that you just call a phone number wherever you are, and someone will drive to wherever you are and change your tire for you if you don't know how to do it yourself and drive you wherever you need to get. See Jews doing chesed for other Jews. See Jews loving other Jews. See them loving other Jews a little more. See them getting along and putting their petty differences aside. Finally, see them putting all their differences aside and having achdus and serving Hashem as one united Jewish people. It says, our job every year, Yom HaTzmaut and in between Yom HaTzmaut, is to look at that Israeli flag and say, there's tchilas there. I can look at that and see one step further. Maybe I can help get us one step further. And then I can see one step further than that. And then one step further than that. And then one step further than that. And the end of the road is the Kisei HaKavod. That is, I don't know, I can't tell you all the reasons they chose tchilas for the Israeli flag. But I think that's the real reason, even if they didn't realize why they chose tchilas for the Israeli flag. They knew they were not creating a utopia, but they were creating a country which was one step from being one step from being one step from being one step to being in the presence of Hashem himself in his heavenly throne. And perhaps it's our job, it's my zechus to live here, to be part of that. It's everyone's zechus, wherever they are in the world, to be part of that as much as they can in their current life situation, to do everything they can to be part of this story. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I don't know when Mashiach will come, but at the very least, perhaps we can all take upon ourselves to hope and yearn and pray for Mashiach to come tomorrow. And even if he's not yet here tomorrow, to do everything we can to bring the state of Israel, Medinat Yisrael, Am Yisrael, one step closer and one step closer and one step closer and one step closer and one step closer. And you know what? If we keep going one step closer, eventually we'll reach the Kisei HaKavod, and we'll see the ultimate Geula, B'mheira V'yameinu. May we all see it very soon. Thank you, everyone, for learning together with me. Wishing everyone a meaningful week and a very meaningful and inspiring Yom HaTzma'ut. And may we all see the Reishis Michas Geulaseinu come closer and closer to the actual Geula, B'mheira V'yameinu. Thank you very much, and thank you, Rabbi Shor, for inviting me.